Let's turn now and talk about embodiment. Many of us live in our heads, or in the case of disassociation, feel like we're living outside or above our heads. Thinking is highly valued in many educational and work domains, and many of us were taught to ignore or override the messages and signals that our bodies are giving us. Let's turn now and talk about disembodiment. Many illnesses, including depression, anxiety, and trauma, are diseases of disembodiment. And supporting our students to inhabit and feel safe in their bodies is one of the great gifts of yoga, I believe. Psychotherapist and yoga teacher and author of Yoga and Psyche, Mariana Kaplan, states, "Embodiment refers to the awakening of consciousness in and throughout the body." In her book, she quotes Anadia Judith in describing the experience of disembodiment, and it was so eloquent that I wanted to share it with you here. Our culture, so proud of its mind over matter philosophy, cuts us off from our bodily experience and from the earth itself. In the severance, our sexuality is negated, our senses assaulted, our environment abused, and our power manipulated. Our ground is our form, and without it, we lose our individuality. At the other end of the pole, misinformation and indoctrination invalidates our consciousness. The child who is told he did not see what he just saw or could not have felt what he was feeling learns to doubt his own awareness. Instincts and memories may become disconnected from the body. This can produce phobias and compulsive activities where behavior does not necessarily match the intention of the conscious mind. Fortunately, information and experience are stored in both physical and mental states. When one side is cut off, the other side can often be accessed. Our bodies can recover memories that our minds have forgotten. To lose our connection with the body is to become spiritually homeless. Without an anchor, we float aimlessly, battered by the winds and waves of life. Let's look at the continuum of embodiment now. Clinical psychologist, yoga teacher, and the author of Yoga for Emotional Balance, Beau Forbes, describes embodiment as a continuum from exteroception to proprioception to interoception. So exteroception is awareness of what's happening in the world on the world around us, using our senses to gather this information. Proprioception is awareness of the body in space, knowing where other people and objects are and the relative size and movement of our own body. Yoga teachers will often give proprioceptive cues in class, and experienced practitioners will often have a well-developed sense of proprioception. Interoception is the awareness of our internal state and is a process of receiving, accessing, and appraising internal bodily signals. Beau outlines the requirements for interoception as letting go of any predictions of what we'll encounter, resisting becoming fixed on a particular sensation, and turning down our mental chatter or narrative. Let's look at the benefits of embodiment now. As we become more embodied through the awareness of interoception, two things emerge that are foundational in a sense of well-being. One, presence, which is our connection to the moment, and two, agency, our ability to affect change. Being embodied supports us to be more in the present moment. The body is very present. The body doesn't know past or future, so inhabiting the body supports us to be in the present moment. And being embodied supports us to have agency in ourself, the belief in our ability to take effective action in the world. Often, individuals with depression, anxiety, or survivors of trauma feel like they have very little agency in the world, so supporting them to come home to their bodies can really support them to rediscover this. psychologist, yoga teacher, and author of Yoga and the Quest for the True Self, Stephen Cope also describes how self-care and self-love naturally develop from embodiment. He says, as we begin to re-experience a visceral reconnection with the needs of our bodies, another amazing change emerges. There is a brand new capacity to warmly love the self. We experience a new quality of authenticity in our caring, which redirects our attention to our health, our diet, our energy, our time management. This enhanced care for the self arises spontaneously and naturally, not as a response to a should. It feels naturally satisfying. We are able to experience an immediate and intrinsic pleasure in self-care, rather than the driven need to create a beautiful, buffed up, youthful looking body that will meet our ego ideal. Let's talk about how we can foster embodiment through yoga. Bessel van der Kolk, medical doctor, author of The Body Keeps Score, and one of the world leaders in trauma research and education, and I studied with him when he was in Australia a few years ago, said, yoga turns out to be a terrific way to regain a relationship with the interior world, and with it a caring, loving, sensual relationship to the self. Yoga is considered to be one of the best practice ways to foster embodiment. In our yoga classes, we can gently and subtly support our students to attend, trust, and come home to their bodies as we focus less on extraception and proprioception and focus more on non-judgmental interoception. So here are some ways that we could do that. We could cue our students the option of sensing their internal experience. For example, you could say, notice how the ohms resonate in your body, or sense the way the body expands and contracts with the breath. Invite a quality of gentle curiosity rather than an expectation or trying to fix or change anything. For example, you might say, sensing what happens with the breath in this posture, without trying to make anything happen or fix or change anything, just noticing and sensing. Invite students to notice and sense internal sensation. So noticing engages the mind and sensing engages the intelligence of the body. Both can be useful. Slow the pace of the class down to give students the opportunity to sense internally. So to help you to ascertain the speed, sense your own internal experience as you teach, and then make it even a little bit slower as they're following your cue, so they'll be a step behind you. And if your students are new to this work, it will likely take them even longer than if they're experienced with it, so slow it down even more. Keep it really simple. There's no need for fancy techniques here. A gentle invitation to sense the body internally is all that is needed. Go gently. Offer, but don't insist, as it might be confusing, difficult, or overwhelming for some students. Always offer the option of throwing away if it doesn't make sense or if they don't feel okay. Now, if you're interested in this work, consider training in IRS Yoga Nidra. I found this work to be really beneficial for this. A word of caution. While being able to attend to and tolerate internal sensations is an important part of recovery, for many individuals experiencing mental health challenges, it's not always easy. In his first research study with yoga classes for trauma survivors, Bessel van der Kolk and his colleagues had a dropout rate of 50%, the highest dropout rate they'd ever experienced. When they interviewed the participants who dropped out, they learned that the gentle yoga program was too intense. For example, postures that involve the pelvis could precipitate intense panic or flashbacks of sexual assault. So in subsequent research, they slowed it right down, going at what they described as a snail's pace. And in a more recent study, only one of the 35 participants dropped out. big difference just from slowing the pace down. Bethel hypothesized that intense physical sensations unleashed the demons from the past that had been so carefully kept in check by numbing and inattention. So slowing the class down can be incredibly helpful for interoception and making the practice accessible for individuals with a history of trauma. Be aware of the potential effect of intense physical sensation. So this doesn't mean that we should never offer strong postures in our classes, but if we know that the population we're teaching might have a history of trauma, we might not offer stronger postures. If we do offer strong postures in a general class, we need to be mindful of always offering alternatives, because we never know if somebody's experiencing trauma, has a history of trauma in our classes. And we also, it's important to be aware of the potential for these postures to be triggering for some students. While a well-trained somatic-based psychologist or yoga therapist may support students to feel emotion and sensation in the body, in a group yoga class with a teacher without advanced training, this is not advisable. Doing so has the potential to be overwhelming and triggering for students, and is outside a yoga teacher's scope of practice to offer this and to support a student who has an ab reaction as a result. When offering embodiment in yoga classes, the focus for a mental health aware yoga teacher is on the felt experience of the first two koshas, the body and the breath. And it is always simply a gentle invitation with the option to throw it away if it doesn't feel right. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this section on embodiment. It is certainly one of my favorites. I hope it's inspired you to move from a more extraceptive and proprioceptive cues to more gentle interoceptive cues in order to support your students to come home to their bodies. Thank you for joining me.